heaven. What an appropriate song. I mean, just perfect for what we're doing tonight, because that is what we are doing tonight. We are singing about heaven. The lesson tonight has a particular focus, and that focus is heaven and why we want to be there. A lot of the teaching that will be done tonight will be done by way of song, spiritual song, scriptural song. Scriptural songs are found throughout the Bible. We can see them in different places. The Psalms in particular, we find songs that teach us, encourage us, admonish us. And even tonight in this service, what we'll be doing is singing songs for that reason and that purpose. You know the passage very well, I'm sure. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Well, in part, tonight, that's what we'll be doing, along with looking at Scripture that I hope will encourage us and inspire us to be all that we should be. In the sermon tonight, we're not going to be using the overhead for the songs. You're going to have to use your songbooks. We're going to be old-fashioned tonight and look at the songbooks. We won't sing every verse of every song. And so you'll have to kind of look at me from time to time to see where we're going next. And, of course, we'll be using Scripture. And you might take your Bible and turn to those Scriptures or listen very carefully while those are read to you tonight. We need to really understand that this life will not last for long. I guess most of us have an understanding of that. Most of us have come to the realization that we're going to die at some point. And I guess I've come to a point in my life where I realize, finally, you come to this point where you just know you're closer to death than to life beginning. When you're younger, sometimes you don't think about those things quite as much. But life cycles have been passing on through. My children are grown. And I have aches and pains that I never believed I could have before. And what hair's not falling out is turning gray. All of this tends to make me think and understand that I'm getting older. And looking out across the audience, I have to tell you something. Some of you are too. It's just the cycle of life, isn't it? And somehow, I don't know what it is. We don't think about those things too much. Somehow, we want to put those thoughts out of our mind. But we ought not. We need to understand that even if we live in this life to be 100 years old, what is that? But a vapor. That is nothing. 100 years is nothing in view of eternity. What we really need to understand is that this life won't last for long, but heaven will. Heaven is for eternity. This place that we live is just a place that's going to vanish away. And while we seem to become absorbed with things, with interests of this life, we need to understand that this world really is not our home. Jesus was pretty straightforward about that matter. If you think about what he said in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 19, he said very simply in this way in the sermon. He says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Well, where's your heart? I mean, wherever your heart is where your treasure is. And so you start wondering, then, what's really most important to you? Well, what is your heart set on? If it's on things of this life, if that's what is most important to you, then here's your treasure. Your treasure's here on this earth. But it's going to go away, and it won't be very long until this goes away. We need to understand that this world is not our home. Where have you made your home? But let's be reminded of this, that this world is not our home. Number 230. 230, we'll sing the first verse only.
Mm-hmm. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
There's many in the Bible who lived their life with a view toward heaven. They had their sights set on a country that was far away. I'm not sure that they really knew or understood what that country was or what exactly they were looking for. But God had made some promises, and they believed what God said, and they believed in the promises that He had given. It was not a fully revealed picture of heaven that was given to them, but God had promised great blessings, and they loved God, and they had faith in Him, and they obeyed Him, and they died seeking a country. They died seeking a heavenly country. If you look in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 11, we're reminded of those like Abraham, those who were with him, who were seeking another country. In Hebrews chapter 11, we begin at verse 13, where it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured by them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." What are you seeking? What are you looking for a home? Where is your home? In this life, we are but straying pilgrims, because we know that we are here for just a little while. Number 213. 213. We are going to sing three verses and then the chorus one time at the end. Three verses, and then the chorus.
Here we are but straying pilgrims, here our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe. But the Lord is our defender, and He tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens our longing eyes.
Are we getting a picture of what we're looking for? That we're looking toward heaven. That we're trying to take our focus away from this life, and we are trying to look toward heaven. Heaven and earth exist by the power of God. He who had power to bring all things into existence has the power to bring this world to an end. And He has said that will happen. The time will come at His own choosing. Jesus said it this way. He said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The time will come when God will bring this world to an end, and then will be the judgment, and we'll all stand before Him in judgment. It's like we said the other night, no one's going to miss the day. The day of judgment is not going to be something that some choose to not show up at. No one's going to be late, we said. We'll all be there. And we'll all stand before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it is good or whether it is bad. It's interesting to me that some have tried to say that with judgment will come a time of living on this earth in a perfect paradise. That with judgment there will be a period of time where those who are God's people will live here on earth. But that's not the view I get from Scripture at all. But with judgment comes a separation. Those who have heaven as a home and those who are condemned eternally. The Bible says that this earth and heavens will be destroyed. We look at 2 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter, in a very, very clear way, gives us indication of what happens when judgment takes place. All that earthly man has worked for, all that's been accumulated, is gone. It goes away. It'll be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3 at verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which now exist, are kept in store by the same word, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the day of the coming of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. It's a pretty graphic description of what lays before us. The same one who had the power to make and create all things is the one who will call the day of judgment and destroy this earth as we know it. And that gives us all the more reason to consider this life and to know that this life is just for a little while, but to be reminded that heaven is forever. And that if we miss heaven, we've missed everything. For the Christian, for the child of God, the end of this life and the end of this earth is nothing to be feared. I wish so very much that those who are disciples of Christ, that those who are Christians, could look toward death with confidence, knowing that we are God's people, that we would choose to live our lives in obedience to Him, and be able to look at our life, knowing that it's going to end, and knowing that we have a home in heaven for eternity. It's that kind of confidence we should have. And instead of looking at death with just horrible dread, we look at death, knowing that it will come to us, but we look at death with expectation. With great expectation. Knowing that when this journey is over, knowing that when this life comes to an end, then will come the morning of joy. Number 528. We'll sing all three verses and then the chorus.
When the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall arise, and the splendors immortal shall envelop the skies, when the angel of death shall no longer destroy, and the dead shall awaken in the morning of joy. When the King shall appear in His beauty on high, and shall summon His children to the courts of the sky, shall the cause of the Lord have been all your employ, that your soul may be spotless in the morning of joy. Oh, the bliss of that morn, when the saved ones we meet, with the songs of the ransomed we each other shall greet, singing praise to the Lamb through eternity's years, with the past all forgotten, with the sorrows and tears. In the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy. In the morning of joy, in the morning of joy, we'll be gathered to glory in the morning of joy.
Have you got a picture of that in your mind? I mean, can you imagine the day? Can you imagine standing before the Lord and doing so with gladness, knowing what is before us? Can you picture that in your mind? Have you confidence of that? It's hard for me to imagine heaven. I'm kind of a hands-on man. I can understand things when I can put it in my hands and I can do something with it. But to conceptualize something that I can't put my hands on and see in front of me, it's really hard. I think I've made reference a couple of times this week, something about, can you picture in your mind's eye this? And that's what I have to do a lot. I have to try to picture something in my mind to understand what it is, how it works. And I've tried to picture heaven. But I don't know that I can really do that. I don't really know what it looks like. The Bible tells us some things and gives us some insight to help us understand that it's a grand place, it's a glorious place, and God will be there. And so we can understand those things about heaven, but what will it really be like? I don't know. I can't explain it to you. But I know I want to be there. And I suspect you feel the same way. That it's something that we want to know. It's something that we want to experience, even though it's beyond what mortal mind can describe and understand. We know it's a place where we want to be because God is there. I mean, if for no other reason, because God is there. It's a place we want to go to because Jesus has prepared it for us. He has made a place for us. He said so. He made it a home for His people. When Jesus was trying to help His disciples understand that He wasn't going to be with them much longer, He started explaining that to them, trying to give them some insight that He wasn't going to walk with them on this earth forever, but that He was going to be leaving them soon. The disciples were quite distressed over that, you know. They couldn't imagine what would happen and why He would be leaving. In time, they understood that, and we can understand that too. But there's some things that Jesus said to help His disciples understand that He was leaving and what He was going to do when He left. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Jesus said to His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a glorious thought. To be in the presence of God, overwhelming. How do you imagine that? To be in the home of our Lord, and to know that that is our home eternally. Incredible. Just incredible. We try to imagine what heaven is and what it will be, and we can't get that picture in our mind. But this much we know. How beautiful heaven must be. Number 196. 196. We'll sing the first and third verses.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's Word He has given. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. The angels so sweetly are singing up there by the beautiful sea. The song of redemption is ringing. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. Sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be.
Isn't that right? Is that what we're looking forward to? We know this life will come to an end. We have to be living for that that is yet to come. For what Jesus has gone and prepared for us. What has been God's plan since the beginning of time. A place, a home for His people. Being in the presence of God is surely the focal point of heaven. We will finally be in the presence of the One who means so much to us. We've tried to imagine that. We've tried to know God and to understand Him. We've come to understand His might and His power, His glory. But finally in heaven we would be in His presence. There's a lot in the book of Revelation that I don't fully understand. But I know it's a book of encouragement to us. I know it's a book that teaches us that if we overcome what there is in this life, that there's a wonderful, wonderful reward to those who are faithful. Revelation chapter 1, chapter 22 and verse 1. John pins these words as he is given this glimpse of heaven. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and from the Lamb. God is there. This much I know, this much I understand about heaven. That God is there. And if we are God's people, we want to be nowhere else but where God is. Just as the fact is that Jesus is there. That's reason enough for us to want to be in heaven. Chapter 21, beginning at verse 2. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. We read last night, didn't we? About the covenant between between the children of Israel and with God. And how He said, if they will obey My commandments, if they will keep My statutes, I will be their God, and they shall be My people. That's always been what God wanted. That's always what He was looking for in a people. And we represent that people today. We are the people who are keeping His will. We are the people that are obeying Him. And He will be our God. And in heaven, they shall be His people. And God Himself will be with them and be their God. What a wonderful thought. Heaven is a place for those who are the people of God. That's who will be there. Those outside of Christ won't be there. Those who have been disobedient to God will not be there. Those who have rejected God will not be there. But we think about being in the presence of God. We think about being with Jesus through eternity. We think about being with those who are the people of God throughout eternity. Won't it be wonderful there? What a grand and glorious thought. Number 192, verses 1 and 2.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? And in the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
In heaven, the trials and the difficulties of this life will be no more. Again, from the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 4, it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. For there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Chapter 22 and verse 5. And there shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun. For the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. There are so many in this life who have had to suffer with so many things. Sickness, with pain, suffering, sadness, with death, hunger, fears. This issue comes with its own, or this life comes with its own set of issues, doesn't it? But our view of heaven is very different than that, knowing that in heaven there are no tears. The tears of this life are not taken with us to heaven. But the tears of this life will be wiped away, and we will bask in the light of the sun. That's an interesting thought to me. You think about the times that Jesus identifies Himself or is identified as the light. Truly, He is for us in this life the light of life. But in heaven, certainly so in heaven, we will come to know so very well the light of the sun. Number 220. No night there. Number 220. We'll sing the chorus after the third verse. Mm-hmm.
In the land of fadeless day lies the city foursquare. It shall never pass away, and there is no night there. All the gates of pearl are made in the city foursquare. All the streets with gold are laid, and there is no night there. There they need no sunshine bright in that city foursquare. For the Lamb is all the light, and there is no night there. God shall wipe away all tears. There's no death, no pain nor fears. And they count not time by years, for there is no night there.
What a glorious thought. What a wonderful thought. To know that we can be in heaven. Heaven is the place where the saved will be gathered. It is home for those who have been washed by the blood of Jesus. We will share that home, those who have become disciples. These are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, John said, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, verse 14. That is a statement of hope, washed in the blood. It gives us the right to enter into that heavenly land, that home built on high by our Lord, for those who have become His people, for those who have become obedient to Him, for those who are the disciples of Christ. Heaven is not a home to those who have made their choice to reject God. Heaven is not their home. Heaven is not a place for those who have not accepted salvation that comes through Jesus. It's not a home for those whose robes are still covered in sin. Those who are still stained by sin. It's a beautiful home to those who have been made pure. That's who will be in heaven. Those whose sins have been forgiven. It's a figure of speech that the robes have been washed and made white. By the washing of the blood of Jesus. But we understand and we emphasize the importance and the power of the washing of the blood of Jesus. And we have to understand that we won't be there without the washing of His blood. It says of Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. We can be cleansed in no other way than by the blood of Jesus. When Paul was writing to the church at Rome, it seems though he was trying to remind these Christians of just what it was that made them Christians, of just what it was that put them in Christ, and reminded them about the power of baptism and the blood that was shed on the cross. Romans chapter 6, beginning at verse 3, the apostle says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore," he says, "we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." What a glorious thought. And we see and we understand the power of baptism into Jesus. And we see and we understand the importance of having our robes washed and made white by the blood of the Lamb. It was Ananias who said to Paul, "Why do you wait? Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." Heaven is beautiful because that's where the saved will be. There'll be no sin there. Not only are we in the presence of God, in the presence of Jesus. We are with those of like precious faith. We are with those whose robes have been made white. What a beautiful place it will be. Heaven will be beautiful. Number 261. 261. We'll sing verses 1 and 2.
Beautiful robe so white, beautiful land of light, beautiful home so bright, where there shall come no night. Beautiful crown I'll wear, shining and bright o'er there, yonder in mansions fair, gather us there. Beautiful robes, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there. Beautiful thought to me, we shall forever be thine in eternity. When from this world we're free, free from its toil and care, heavenly joys to share, let me cross over there. This is my prayer. Beautiful robes, beautiful land, beautiful home, beautiful band, beautiful crown, shining so fair, beautiful mansion bright, gather us there.
We anxiously will come, knowing that on the other side of judgment is our home eternal. But if you're not prepared for that day, you have no reason to rejoice. You have no reason to sing songs of gladness about heaven if you're not God's people. If you've not been washed in the blood, if your robe has not been made white, heaven is not your home. Are you ready for judgment? That day will come. It doesn't matter how long you live in this life. At some point in time, we will all stand before the Lord. Are you ready for that day? It'll be a day of great excitement and anticipation for Christians. The Christians welcome home. What a wonderful thought. But if you're outside of Christ, it's a day of doom. It's not a day of rejoicing. And you have no reason to rejoice now. But you can. You can have reason. If you're not a Christian, but you understand what you need to do to become a child of God, you understand that you need your sins washed away. The waters of baptism are ready for those willing to repent of their sins, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized into Jesus Christ. Become a baptized believer. You can have hope of eternal life. Have your sins washed away. Sometimes as Christians we struggle. We struggle, don't we? Satan puts everything in our way that he possibly can to make us trip, to make us fall. He wants us to miss heaven. But God has done everything he can to clear the path, to give us a way, a means to be with Him in heaven in eternity. And we look forward to that Christian's welcome home. Number 228, we'll sing verses 1 and 3 as a song of invitation, a song of encouragement. There may be someone tonight that needs to respond, and we're asking you to respond. Would you come? Come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
How sweet will be the welcome home when this short life is o'er. when pain and sorrow, grief and care shall trouble us no more. Welcome home, sweet welcome home, my home, sweet home. Welcome home, sweet welcome home, the Christians welcome home. If we are faithful, we shall gain the land of promised rest, where with the Savior we shall live and be forever blessed. Welcome home, sweet welcome home, my home, sweet home. Welcome home, sweet welcome home, the Christians welcome home.
Thank you so much for singing so well tonight and singing out and paying such good attention. I appreciate so much the opportunity to have been here this week for this meeting, for this effort. And I've been encouraged very much myself. And I hope and I trust, I pray that the meeting has been good, that it's been helpful for you, that there's good that's been done, and that your faith is stronger, and that we can go on in this life looking toward heaven, better prepared for the day that we stand before the Lord. Thank you so much for being here tonight.